You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
First of all, let's get to sponsors and people ride the lights from. Let's get them out the way. Today's show is brought to you by Balorian, Milkian, and Shakidian. BMS is what they call. They're one of the finest law firms in the Southern California area. I'm just going to say in the country, with a 98% success rate. They deal with PI, wrongful death, wrongful firing. As long as you don't kill, man, they'll deal with you. Ask for Ashat, Hike, Vahe, Ani, Shushan, David, and the full staff of paralegals. Get that free consultation. Call them at 747-444-4444. They're in the Sherman Oaks area. And if you pull in, there's going to be a guy who does security who'll probably look familiar to you. Remember, if you're 18, those Casual Reds show listener, just let them know you heard it here, and we get some paper. Jeremy, take it over.
Yeah, all right, Sam, let's bring in the guys. Let's bring on Mikey, Sean. Whoa, welcome everyone. We're here to another episode of Those Casual Reds, right? And just as the title shows, oh, and we got Patch too. Just
there
in the
he
nick
is.
Of time. Look at that, there man. In the clutch,
sneaking
right?
In there. Sneaking
right in there, right? To our local Red. So, as the title shows, right? Cheese actually mentioned this.
Hold on. Happy birthday to Big Mike.
There you go.
You know, young man. Our favorite Red, the man who stirs up the pots, everything. Mikey, it's a blessing to have you in my life as a friend. I appreciate you. I respect you. Sometimes. No, I'm saying. Big ups to you, brother. Blessings and many more.
And his
yo, more life. Drink some water today. I want to see you drink some water. Mm-hmm. Take some water.
And his unofficial nickname that Casey has given him, number one hater.
My number one hater.
His number one hater. All right. So let's get into this. The game of what ifs. This is something that Cheese actually mentioned over the weekend, right? Now, after we've had a few days to let that frustrating draw marinate a bit, let's just give a few of our thoughts. And to start that off, let's start off with the main man right here, Cheese.
Good evening. Again, Mikey, big up yourself. Happy birthday. Trinidad and Tobago, happy Republic Day. After what, 48 hours plus or so, I'm actually in a good mood. I feel good about things, less frustrated about the splitting the points, getting a draw. I'm very hopeful again. I have hope again. I'm going to let Ineos do their thing. I'm going to let them work with Ten Hag. I'm going to keep building off the vibes that we've been seeing since game one, since the Fulham game, because I do feel like there's been improvement with each game that's gone by. So I've been very kind of happy about that. Obviously, scoring is an issue, and us not finishing the chances that we're creating is a big issue. But other than that, man, it's all good vibes. Crystal Palace is nice. Tough. I think we lost to them last year, so moving right along.
We got clotted by them last
year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Lost.
Shout out to Olise doing his thing at Byron. We did not miss you on the weekend.
No, sir. Casey, you want to go next?
Yeah. First, I think there's good things. I think the team defensively, I feel like we're solid. I'm impressed with us defensively. I think we're a tough team to beat defensively. I just think Erik ten Hag needs to do a little tinkering here and there. I think there's more positives than negatives at this point in the season. You know, guys are they're distributing. There's guys getting balls in the boxes and stuff like that. Good things are happening. We're just not being clinical. Exactly. I feel that'll come. You know, a lot of people were. Bruno had a rough evening, and You know, 34 times losing the ball is not good in any aspect of the game. The substitution, it's crazy to say that Erickson looked good. Like, Erickson right now looks good. It's crazy to think that, you know, that was a guy that we didn't think was going to be able to even play on this level anymore. But he looked fine. Eric Ten Hag has to just, only thing I think he needs to work on is his in-game management, like getting a flow of the game, understanding who's
his adjustments. Right?
His adjustments. And you know, a lot of people want to be negative, and I think it's the Eric Ten Hag or Eric Ten Hag out people who are just really looking for any issue. But if he had this team year one, it'd be a different situation. I wish he had this team year one, because this team, you know, it's a good vibe. I mean, if you look at the guys in training, everybody seems to be happy. Everybody seems to be good. So I think it's positive. I think there's, everything is going to be all good from here on out. I just feel like we're just going to start tomorrow, play well, and on the weekend we'll see some good vibes. But I think I trust Eric Ten Hag is going to figure out his who he wants to play, the roles people need to play. For example, Zerski, Ahmad, and Erickson, those three coming out the game, our possession team went nowhere. I think we can't afford to have a game where all three of those guys are out the game. There's got to be someone in there to initiate the game. Because we, obviously, I don't want to say we can't count on Bruno, but we shouldn't have to count on Bruno the whole time. Because right now, I just don't think Bruno's in form. I don't think he's at his top Bruno self. I think Bruno's played a lot of football. I think Bruno's trying too hard to make things happen. It's not coming. It's not being natural, Bruno. But I know I spoke long. After the Crystal Palace things, yes, I was disappointed. I took it as a positive. We didn't lose. You know, City and Arsenal drew. Everybody else pretty much played well. But things are good. Things are good. People who are trying to trip and get super negative, you don't understand ball. You don't know what you're seeing. I saw more positives, and it's a shame we didn't get the 3 points. We deserved the 3 points. I'm just going to say that. On to the next guy.
I'll give my piece, because then we're going to go to the guys out here, right? Just like Casey, I want to take positives out of this game, right? We got embarrassed, right, against Crystal Palace last year. This time, we controlled the game first half, right? Controlled. We were very positive, progressing forward. Garnacho up front, Ahmad, Xerxes with that link-up play, having that flair, being silky up at dropping deep, right? The defense, we cannot say enough about the defense, right? The way they've been solid at the back. These guys are knowing the role, the low, knowing how to come in to be a little bit more compact, come into the midfield, directing also the center backs, right? Where to go, what to do exactly, right? So these guys are knowing their roles. Masraoui, we can't say enough about that guy, right? He's playing really great at the right back, knowing what to do, where to occupy spaces to expose, right, the defense so we can have space up front. So more than anything, we take the positives. Garnacho, man, he had so many chances. We want to see our wingers, our, you know, striker have enough chances. It's just, you know, the ball just cannot find the net. Any other Sunday, right, or any other Saturday, that ball would be in the net. We'd be crushing them 3-0. Unfortunate, right? Second half, we can talk about a little bit about that later on. Some of the subs that he did, the changes were not right, correct? Bruno, he's probably played a little too much football, and it showed as the game progressed. The game was getting away from him. He was doing too many of those Hollywood passes. That really affected us towards the end, losing the ball. But all in all, I would take the positives. We see that foundation kind of building up, and, you know, this is what we want to see. We want to see attacking football, dominating football. So that's what I got to say about that one. Now let's go off to Patch. What you do think about this?
Yeah, just like everyone else, I was disappointed. I thought we should have got 3 points, but I also thought we were lucky not to lose. But like you said, Jeremy, last season, I think we got clotted twice by Palace.
Big word.
and so, you know, if you want to take some positive from that and say that it's progression, I suppose you can, because Selhurst Park is always a tough place to go and play. But, yeah, I think the subs taking out Xerxes was probably the biggest mistake, because, look, he's a striker. his job is to put the ball in the net. He wasn't doing that, but he was contributing in other very positive ways. So his link-up play was great. He even kind of dropped back a little bit and helped sort the midfield out. So I think he was doing his part, you know, and like I said, you're a striker. We bought you to score goals. He's not doing that, but he's contributing in other ways. So I guess, you know, you can take a positive from that. But I thought Onana had his, perhaps arguably, his best game in a United
shirt. Salute, Onana.
And so I think that, you know, he's always been confident. He's been confident from day one about his capabilities and stuff. And I feel like now we're finally starting to see him sort of come out of his shell a little bit and adjust to life a little bit. So I'm happy to see and looking forward to seeing, you know, more of that type of behavior, because he can be a fucking absolute shithouse if he wants to be. I'm looking forward to that. But I thought the team played well, and we were unlucky not to win. Like you said, any other day, that first time curler from Garnacho goes underneath the crossbar, not over the top of it. Bruno was unlucky with his follow-up, hit on it. So again, we could have been 2-0, at least 2-0 up by halftime, but it just wasn't our day. So I think there's positives to take, but obviously you're disappointed, because Crystal Palace away, if you're trying to progress in the league, those are just games you have to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're already, you know, getting to a point where we can't afford to drop many more points, because we've had 2 wins out of 5. So it's, you know, now it's to the point where it's like, okay, time to kick on a little bit, boys. And I want to pose this question to you guys, because I just thought of it and I don't know if it would be interesting. Given that Xerxes has some pretty nice link-up play, would it be interesting to see Xerxes drop to an
go ahead.
Have Hoyland on as the center forward?
Yeah.
That's what I was calling for when he made the substitution. Like, when he made that, take Bruno out, drop Xerxes back, and allow Rashford to go up front, or Hoyland, or whoever came on, you know? I think that would have been the play, and I think we would have won the game in that situation. But, you know, instead we decided to drop back and play bottom of the league ball and just allow our defense and midfield to just chip the ball over the top.
Yeah.
Like, Rashford had, like, no disrespect for Rashford, he had no service during that game. And, like, it wasn't his fault, like, he didn't get a shot on goal or whatnot, but I agree with you. Bringing Bruno off and allowing Xerxes to drop back into that 10 would have been a perfect situation for him.
Got it. Mike, you get in there. What was your...
I'm just starting to wonder if this team only has 30 minutes of ball in them. That's what I'm starting to wonder. I'm starting to wonder if we only have a half or 30 minutes, because Southampton was the same deal. Play well, play bad for 30 minutes, and then figure it out the rest of the game. Now this one is play well and then capitulate, make bad substitutions. The space behind went away when Xerxes came off, because they know Rashford's pacey and they're going to put him at the top. They hadn't yet got Hoyland in the game yet. So they're like, oh, he's going to play up top. We'll just take away that space in behind and be compact. And they did a good job of that, bro. To be honest, it feels like a loss. As much as we didn't lose, it feels like a loss. It feels, and it's some cause for some concern. If we can't change that with the next game, we have Tottenham next, and that's not going to be easy. But I feel like Tottenham hasn't been playing as well. They have a hard time defending.
Yeah.
So we should be able to do something there. But about this game, bro, I'm not going to be too crazy about it. There's a lot of positives to take away from it, but it is concerning that we can't get the W against the opposition of that caliber.
Can I ask you a question, Mikey? Don't you feel like once he gets his guys right and his lineup right, we're going to see a full game? I just don't think Erik ten Hag truly understands, even though he sees these guys every day in practice, because some of his substitutions felt like he was just substituting guys to get them on. Like, seems like he just brought on Rashford to make sure Rashford plays. Like, he brought on Rasmus just to make Rasmus play because he brought Rashford at a center forward. He brought him in center forward, and then that didn't work. And then you throw him off to the wing, and you bring in Rasmus. It was just like two moves that seemed like he did without a tactical reason. Do you feel like he's still under pressure where he feels like, this is the question I'm going to ask all you guys. Do you feel like Erik ten Hag is like, I need to play this guy and this guy versus saying, I need to play him for this reason and that reason? Because I just think he's still feeling a little pressure to say, I got to get Rashford going and I got to get Rasmus going because if I don't play him, people are going to come for me. I need to take off Xerxes versus saying, Xerxes playing well, drop him to the 10. Take Bruno out. You know, I think he's just loyal to a fault. That's the thing I'm saying. Do you think that'll improve once he gets a little bit more cutthroat? Because I know what you're saying. We're not playing a complete game. But I think once he understands, like, listen, my job's on the line. I got to start playing things for tactical reasons. And I think that'll come together because
I don't think it's just on him. I think that needs to come from above, too.
But you know what, Sean?
I want to say something, too, about that. If you're posing those questions, if that's the way he's thinking, then he's the wrong manager for this job, right? For him to be thinking about, oh, I need to get this guy going. I need to give him some time, right? You got to see what's in front of you, the game. You got to manage the game that's in front of you, not I need to get this guy going because we need results.
The thing is, the reason why he was so successful at Ajax was because he had that backroom.
Yeah.
He had that. You know, he had everything behind him to be able to point him in the right direction. Like, no man is going to make the right decisions all the time. We all make bad decisions.
Oh, yeah,
and
I do.
And we have somebody, like, maybe your wife or somebody to put you on the right track. You know what I mean? Like, you need that person above to go, hey, look, that was the wrong choice. Why did you make that choice? And understand it. And damn, United have never had
very solid point, Sean.
But Sean,
very solid point.
If,
right,
don't you think if he waits for the people above to tell him that, they're going to be like, why do we need to tell this joker what to do?
Well, it's not necessarily, like I just said, we all make mistakes, we all make the wrong choices, but we always have somebody to tell you, hey, that was a bad choice. Like, just because you make a bad choice doesn't mean you're a bad manager.
No, or
you
no, not at all.
The thing. You're just seeing it in your point of view, like, hey, I think this was the right choice, but somebody up above him, like Barada or, you know, somebody that's standing there, like he was in the FA Cup final, he was told to play a different system.
Yeah.
He played it.
Yeah, the false nine.
Like, he needs help above. It's not always just on the manager. Man. And, you know, like, if you notice, you watch a lot of training, he doesn't necessarily conduct all of the trainings himself. He's, you know, number two and number three help him with that. So they're seeing things he's not always seeing. So there needs to be more communication, not just with those three, but with the top end of Man United too. Like, from when I played, it wasn't always the coach that gave me directions on what I was supposed to be doing.
Facts.
You know, it comes from a different perspective. There isn't three coaches there for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know he's the guy that makes the decisions, but when you get it wrong, you need somebody to help you kind of, like, put it in the right situation.
Got it.
I see. How Mike, do we know?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
That they aren't involved already.
We're not, but exactly. It, you know, but at the end of the day, we're only five games into a whole new system, a whole new backroom staff. And he has a brand new coaches too. You got to remember that his coaches left. These are two new people for him, so he has to build a relationship with them and build a relationship with the higher ups. So that's why I'm not too overly concerned. I think we're heading in the right direction on the pitch, and I think we're heading in the right direction off the pitch. It's just going to take time for all of that to gel. Like, no team is going to gel that quickly. Like, City didn't, Arsenal didn't, Liverpool didn't. It takes time for all that to gel. So I think we're heading in the right direction on all aspects. Just, you guys are right. They need to start scoring the goal. If Garnaccio scores that goal,
yeah,
we're
different
talking
story.
2-3-0. I think the
even Bruno.
Bruno especially. Mm-hmm. Bruno especially.
Well, to that point, shouldn't we not put so much emphasis on Erik ten Hag and his decisions and more so on the players on the pitch? Rightfully so. Bruno is the captain. Shouldn't he have the know-how, the football know-how of, we only have so much amount of time. I can't be doing these type of passes.
They have to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with something I heard.
I'm sure that the brass isn't saying, Bruno, hoof the ball and just play a one-touch, no-look pass. Like, I'm sure this is, like, as much as, like, I agree what y'all are saying, I think it's rooted in a lot of speculation because What if it's them saying, you know, hey, this person analytics wise at this part of the game, this is when they shine. Maybe you bench Rashford. Like, we don't know what or who said what. Rude might have been the one to say, all right, come on, let's put Hoyland on, drop Xerxes. Like, we don't know who said what in this case. I just feel like guys have to stop making. And this is where I could look at the players, because you're the guy out there. You have to stop making bonehead decisions and realize the game has changed. There's no space in behind. Your runner that's your number that's playing number nine right now is not going to have space to run onto the ball. So maybe we don't just kick the ball into the air and just give it up. But, like, Bruno's doing that on his own, and, like, he should be yanked. But it's also, we've seen Bruno play bad for 80 minutes and score a goal. That's the thing. You the players do that. They Bruno does it the most, I feel like. And that's why we forget the 80 minutes when he was shit. And because he gets GA, because he's a GA merchant.
I'm going to say something crazy. Bruno lost that game for us.
Wow. No, he didn't.
Bruno didn't lose that game, but he had a huge negative impact on that game.
He was one of
Think about that goal. And Sean, you guys said it on your show. Big ups, United Zone, 20. By the way, 24. Why is he doing this shit off the side of his foot?
But if it scores, you're like, it's beautiful, though.
He needs to be fine.
But we need to be clinical, not Hollywood.
It's not rude telling them to do that.
Go ahead, Patch.
Go ahead, Patch. Sorry, Patch.
No, it's all good. Stems back from problems that we've seen. I've lost track of the amount of years. There just comes a point in the game when we face teams that are tough to break down that we run out of ideas and we run out of creativity, and that's where the hoofing of the ball from the back comes. It rarely works. So again, like you said, Sean, a lot of the staff is real. A lot of the background staff is brand new. The higher ups are obviously brand new. We also brought in a ton of players, not a ton, but we brought in a decent amount of players over the summer. So throwing all that together and just going, here, make it work. Yes, there's still problems from previous seasons, like I said, in terms of, you know, putting the ball in the net. But, you know, to Sean's point, we're five games in. I'm not too bothered by it, but I think obviously we're all upset that we can't make it work just like that when we should be beating teams like Fulham more comfortably and Crystal Palace and you know, Brighton and stuff like that.
Even Tottenham. Tottenham.
I mean, we look on paper, this next run of games, I think Villa away is going to be the toughest one.
Yeah.
So if we got 9 points out of 12 and lose to Villa,
Jesus Christ,
that's progression in my opinion, because I feel like tomorrow FC 20 are going to be playing like it's their Champions League final.
They will.
That's what that always do against us.
They went to the City game today. And they was up in there tripping. FC 20 supporters at the City game. They was in there representing. I like them.
So and
they had to fill the stands.
Yeah, they helped fill the stands. Funny as hell.
Because that game against Arsenal, I don't know if anyone watched it. That behind the goal was empty. Arsenal versus City. They behind the goal was empty.
I didn't even notice. I was small fucking hungry.
Small club.
What is your guys' thoughts on, because we're such a big club, any sub or anyone that doesn't start is such a huge thing. Do you guys put any stock or any thoughts into Marcus Rashford coming off the bench? Oh no, is there something rumbling between Eric Ten Hag and Rashford? It's like you can't win if you start him, you can't win if you don't start him.
I thought it was interesting that he started Marcus every game to get his form going. And then when he starts scoring he scored goals, you benched him. But, I mean, we still should have beat Palace, though. I don't think Marcus was the problem. I just thought it was weird that Marcus didn't score. You started every match.
You don't think Garnacho didn't deserve that start, though?
Say that again?
You don't think Garnacho didn't deserve that start?
No, Garnacho, well, we've all been asking for Marcus to take a step back, because Ahmad has been affected. Garnacho's been lively. And I've always said I would bench Rashford, but I don't think he had the guts to.
I don't think it was so much of a benching. I think I said this last night, that last year we didn't, in the third round of the Carabao Cup, we didn't make any changes. We went out a full team. And look what happened in the season. We ended up with a ton of injuries. You know, we've if Garnaccio scores that, are we really talking about the fact that Rashford didn't start? It's just because we didn't score. That's all this is because we didn't score.
Yeah, that's all.
Exactly.
And also, if we'd played really bad, yes, we're talking about it. We didn't score, we draw the game or lose the game, we're talking about it. Garnaccio scores or even De Ligt scores that header, we're not talking about it. That's the thing. We need to, again, like, we need to back the manager. Like, if he doesn't make changes and we get a ton of injuries, Ten Hag's fault. If he makes changes and we don't score and don't win the game, it's Ten Hag's fault. Like, I don't blame Ten Hag. I blame the players.
Yeah, facts.
That's your job. If you're not doing your job at work and your boss yells at you, you know, it is what it is. You're not doing your job. You're not scoring. The strikers are there to score. Can't always pull out in the midfield. You can't always rely on Bruno. He's not a striker. He's a midfielder.
Yeah.
So the strikers need to start doing their job. But at the end of the day, we know the stats. We're top of the league in missed chances.
Mm.
We just need to start converting them. If we can start converting them, we go. And we're only 4 points, remember, from the top four right now. So, you know, if we convert half of those chances, we're in the top four right now. So this is, for me, why I'm not worried. Those converted chances are going to come.
Yeah, and I think Erik ten Hag's comments alluded to that, right, about having rotation, right, rotating players. It's just like the media or the fan base is never just satisfied. Like, to your mentioning, it's always Erik ten Hag got it wrong on who he should have started, right? Who should have cut off the bench first. So we're always looking just at any little thing to pinpoint at the manager, but at one point it has to be the players. And we were screaming for Garnaccio to start, or also screaming for, like, hey, Rashford sometimes not informed. He needs to sit, right? Yeah. And Garnaccio, no one can argue that Garnaccio should not start, right?
He's a starter.
So exactly, right? So, I mean, like you said, it has to do with the players. The players have to produce on the pitch.
This close from winning the game.
This close. And not just that, we have to rotate players. We're seeing what's going around the league and in football, right? There's so many injuries. So players have to get rotated. And I think Bruno should be one of those players next to get that rotation.
We are. I think so, too.
But that's what we're at a point where we can. We have players to rotate. We didn't have that last season.
Last year, we had to play Bruno every game.
Yeah. But here's a quick question. Who do you rotate him against? Do you rotate him against the first game in Europa or against Tottenham or Villa? Because they're three games that you need Bruno in.
Go ahead, Patch.
I think you do Europa. I think you put him in against Europa, and I also think you put maybe Bayern Deer in goal against in Europa.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
that's a big shout out.
You know, granted, it was against Barnsley, but he did well.
He looked
We can't have another backup goalkeeper like poor Sergio Romero that barely got a sniff. I mean, legend. He played some good games and he had some great performances, but
take you all the way to a cup,
you know. You hear good things about Bayern Deer, so you hope that he comes good and stuff. But yeah, I think there's a couple positions for Europa that he rotates. But I've also heard you go out there and you play the strongest 11. But you know, it really is down to management in terms of what do you prioritize. I mean, I think we're all trying to progress in the league, but there's so many more damn games now. And he even said it in his presser. It's like, you know, The injuries are going to be inevitable. They just are. So, you know, it's kind of a tough call. I'm just glad I'm not the manager. I don't have to make those decisions.
Got it. I would love to be the manager of Manchester United. Oh, it'd be tricky.
You'd be having us fighting relegation.
What'd you say, Mikey?
You'd have him in League One.
Damn, at least I gave you relegation.
It'd be loose.
One. Oh, my
The pregame... Casey
would be like, Casey would be like, offer 140 for Leon Bailey.
I'd probably be like, oh, there's a game today? Oh, shit, I'm late.
You have no problems with Rashford being out in town, right? Coming in late.
Rashy's on the piss. Rashy's on the piss. Da 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 da.
He's with him.
I'm with him. Like, Rash, just get lit.
Hey. Casey, you'd get text from your mom halfway through the game. You're a waste, man. Why'd you take out?
I'm like, we up 3-0, though. We up 3-0. All right. That's fun of games.
Exactly, right?
But I don't know. It's positive. I think I'm very positive about this team. There's way more good things than bad things. It's just about adjustments.
I will say this. I don't think y'all could take a Tottenham loss.
I know. We, you know what, Mikey? Salute to Mikey on that point. Mikey,
we cannot. We cannot.
I don't think we could take a loss in the next.
I'm here. I'm here for it. I'm riding it out. But I don't think this panel here could take a loss.
It's not this panel, though, gentlemen. Don't you think? If United gets a loss before this next international break, especially going into the winter, going into January, I feel bad for Erik ten Hag. And the thing is there's a lot of progression. There's a lot of good things going on, but
there is a lot of progression. Speaking about international break, isn't Luke Shaw?
He coming back? No, don't talk about let's keep it real. He's coming back after the break.
Don't talk about Luke Shaw.
We don't know. He might
come back. I think Diallo is playing well on the left.
Oh. Big question before we move on from this topic. I know what the United Zone guy said.
What happened?
Shaw comes back. Mm-hmm. What do you do with the left back situation? Are you going to with your right back? Who are you going to play? Delo or Mazzarri?
Well, I don't think you start off Luke Shaw right off the bat, though.
His place.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, but you don't start Luke Shaw right off the bat.
Season last year.
That's a great answer.
Last year. We're five games into this year. And
yeah, but what's he done? But what's he done this year to say that he still doesn't deserve that right spot?
He's played great. You don't break him up out of stride right now. He's been playing really good. To bench him now is crazy. He gets a bench when he starts acting up. But he's come in cold off the bench in a new league and made that position his own. He's won that.
Who?
He's won that.
He's talking about Mazraoui.
I totally agree with Mikey.
My thing is, like, I wouldn't start Luke Shaw on the left back. Just ease keep the low end.
Yep.
Yeah, ease him back. Why would you give him a start?
As long as... Patch, how do you feel about that?
Anyway.
Say what?
How do you feel about when Luke Shaw's fit and ready to come back with Mazraoui and Delo both playing well at... And they're both right backs. Who are you going to bench? I agree with Mikey. As long as Mazzarri and Delo are playing well, there's no need to rush Luke Shaw back. I would let him get as fit as possible.
And then, like, player of the season in a team that's eighth, that's like being the tallest midget.
That's disrespectful. I would not.
I think Luke Shaw has to earn his spot back. I don't think he just walks into the left-back position. I mean, I think if the Delo at left-back and Maserati at right-back is not working.
I see what you did there.
Then
shit,
maybe you give Luke Shaw a sniff, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I'm like past the point of being done with Luke Shaw at this point.
Past it,
yeah.
Same here. Malassi has ahead of Luke Shaw. He's actually on the grass running around with guys right now. But he's like a Pringle chip.
Yeah, I'd rather
Malassi had a good start to the season last season before he got hurt. Mm-hmm.
He's the one that got Luke Shaw together.
I would rather just keep these two guys in there. They're consistent. I'm a big DeLo fan, but shout out to Mazraoui, right? He's a smart technical player. That position on right back, he knows when to come into midfield, when to step out wide. That takes, you know, that football IQ of knowing where to be at the exact moment to reel in that defense, go up and attack, or help out your center backs. So.
And he doesn't look like he gets tired either.
Exactly.
He looks very fit. He looks like he's willing to play 90 minutes every week. Like, he looks good. We should ease Luke Shaw back into – he should get the cup games, right?
It's that Bayern fitness, huh?
Now. And slowly play his way back into it. But basing letting DeLo play back on that position because he was the best player last year when a guy who just steps out of nowhere in a totally different league and, like, everybody has adulation and praise for him, you know, it's like no – Mazraoui and De Ligt have been standouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's facts.
I feel like you have a problem with players of the year because you have a problem with David De Gea, too.
Yeah, let's not go there. I don't want to bring this up.
Let's not go there because
your goalkeeper. That's a problem. Not a good thing.
Quick messages. Jay Brunskill said we need a win for sure, bro. And he said Mazraoui, keep him in. And it was a bunch of happy faces. He says Malassi is good. Very good. Very?
What?
I think he's were very good for Malassi. I remember watching him play against Tottenham and getting absolutely dicked against Harry Kane. So.
You know, there's talk that we could get a left back in January.
Oh, I did hear that.
I think he's a good player. I don't think he's I don't think he's ever going to be the starting left back for Man United.
No.
No, he's not a starter.
He's a squad rotation player. Squad player.
I'm still about selling him too, as soon as possible.
I think if Luke Shaw plays, he gets a start if we play fucking Grimsby Town away or some shit like that. I'm so far from accepting him as a starter in the league, much less the Europa League. But again, throw Malacia in there, bring him on the last 10 or 15 minutes or something like that, you know, against FC 20 if he's ready, or maybe, I don't know, Porto away or something like that. Get him slowly, slowly integrated. But for now, I like our defensive line has looked good.
Good.
I think you keep it. And after having, you know, 30 odd iterations of our defensive line in the back, it's finally an opportunity for us to develop some form of consistency in the back. And I think Maserati, De Ligt, Martinez, and Delo is fucking sick.
When was the last time Man United went 3 games in a row without conceding a goal?
That's such a great point.
Type of opposition.
Yeah.
The last time we went 3 games in a row without conceding.
That's a solid back line right now, right?
Solid back line.
Yeah.
Vidic Ferdinand days? I don't know.
Everybody thought Martinez was insane, huh?
Oh,
insane.
I want to just say one thing.
I loved it.
That's the type of player you hate to play against, but the type of player you love having for your team. Oh, that's all I would say about Martinez. So he's that type of player that...
Dude, he was an inch... We were an inch away from having Harry Maguire play back for the next 3 games.
Hey, Mikey, can I come clean about something? I didn't even know that was a rule that you can't jump with 2 feet in Atlanta. Because I do that at the park all day.
I don't even think that should be a rule, you know. That's like something...
I'm a DB, but I'm coming in to kill niggas.
God. If that was Michael Oliver, he would have been sent off.
You remember when fucking Marcus Rojo did that?
Yeah. I love Rojo.
Dude, he was Spoken Martinez is the player we wanted Rojo to be.
Yeah,
and they're both Argentinian. There you go.
Rojo's insane, though.
Yeah,
did you see his burnt toast? That's another story. But Martinez, he's a madman. That's what I'm saying. Like, I love it, and obviously love it that he didn't get a red card for it. But I love it that people saw him do that because strikers and attacking midfielders and shit are gonna be like, oh fuck, this guy's like gonna be snapping kneecaps and shit.
Just don't do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that you did it. No, just don't do it again.
Just have it in the back of your head when you're running up against him that he could do that. But he's not going to. You know what I mean? That fear factor.
It's funny how everybody was explaining the rule to me at the pub. I was like, what's wrong with that? Oh. Everybody's like, dude, chill out.
Come on, man. 2 feet left the ground, studs. Come on, man.
He didn't do nothing. He didn't touch nobody.
Just because he didn't do anything doesn't mean it's a clean play, clean football.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. Okay.
I honestly think he would have got more than a free game ban if he had touched that player.
Yeah, that reminds me of like those Ndamukong Suh type of plays. That just reminds me like those Ndamukong Suh plays where, oh, I didn't mean to do that type of thing. It's just
baller,
little reckless, right?
There's no need to do it because like if you just get in front of the ball, you get the ball. So what was the point? He didn't even get the ball. We lost possession with that.
Honestly, I feel like he was jumping up to block the ball.
That's for a second. I was trying to defend it in my mind, like, oh, maybe he did that, trying to put his 2 feet of shins in front of the ball to block it like a wall, but it's just like...
That was my first thought.
He saw red. He blacked out for a second.
Kind of reminded me of Antonio Brown's flying kick against the Browns. So I'm like, you didn't need to do that. You could have just ran past the player.
Yeah.
He jumped up in the air and flying kicked him in the chest.
Reminds me of Bobby Boucher and the Water Boy is what it reminded me of.
Borderline something like that, right?
It reminds him of Antonio Brown flying kick.
Oh, Casey's having some
CTE
issues.
I love controlled violence.
He can't remember about that Antonio Brown play.
I don't even know who he is. Wow. Oh, he played for the Steelers.
Yeah.
CTE's beautiful, baby.
All right. Well, moving on, right? Just really quick. Did you guys see these drawings that came out about this proposed thing?
Stadium?
Yeah, the stadium.
My boy Sinatra lost his mind today. He said it looked like a piece of gum. What is that? I said, dude, chill out, bro.
Yeah, he would say something like that.
I saw a comment Mikey made, and I want to get to Mikey on this. He was saying that he was concerned about who's paying for it and the housing that they're going to remove. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they will have to address all these things.
They have to. You can't just make people homeless.
Can't just be for the club. It's got to be for the community. Yeah. And what worries me too is now that you have, if they're going to have a 100,000 seat stadium, is it going to be like, you know, if you get no lead seats, is it just going to look like a bunch of ants running around? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Old Trafford as is now, no matter the seats, you still get a decent view.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, it's close.
Yeah. So, and also
well, Wembley did it. So I've been to Wembley, and Wembley, when you're up in the nosebleeds, it's kind of like Old Trafford. You can still see.
Well,
so I'm sure that they'll integrate something similar to Wembley style.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, the same people, Populous, who did the Tottenham Stadium, everybody says they love their seats. From what I'm hearing, what they did for the Dallas Stadium, everybody says they love their seats. So far, everybody, there's a good view in everywhere. So I think they will do that part. The big concern is who's going to pay for this shit?
That's very true. I mean, Sports Illustrated is mentioning that it's a potential 100,000-seater, which will benefit the local community, attract new residents, increase job provisions, and make it a vibrant destination rent. For visitors.
Say it again, Mikey.
Hike up rent.
That's code and for rent. That's price. Code for yep.
Well,
rent.
And gentrification. That's code up. For gentrification.
Everybody I know that lives in Inglewood by SoFi loves that their property value triple.
Yeah.
We'll tell that to the residents that got displaced.
That's facts too. I don't know what happened to that.
Is the club going to pay for it 100%?
No.
The biggest thing, because we've seen teams in England have a way of making the borough or the city pay for the stadium.
That's a very American thing.
They'll pay a piece of it. So it's like, now we're talking about, does the people in the area pay for this stadium or they pay for a piece of it? If you guys are going to pay for it all, that's fine. But then I have to worry about, there's a lot of homes in that area. So are you going to displace people? I've seen it here. Hell, my neighborhood in Brooklyn, when the Barclays came, eminent domain. People have been living in that place 50 years. Gone. Atlanta, they knocked down a church to build a Benz. That's why the Falcons suck.
Oh, wow.
90% of that area is warehouses.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not so much houses that is in that area.
And United owns that 90% of that, don't they?
They already own the land that they would be building on and building everything. And 90% of that, like literally, if you've been to Old Trafford, the entire surrounding area is a shithole. Like there are some nice streets, but it's a shithole. And to be able to build that is going to be massive. Like to have what City have, but then also have Manchester United have the same thing, is going to be massive for the city of Manchester. We've also got one of the largest universities in England in Manchester. So a lot of those houses could be used college students and stuff like that. I know a lot of, I was watching a video the other day about what could be put in the area. A lot of businesses, so that's a lot of rent for businesses. So most of that area, you're not going to be displacing pretty much anybody. Most of the area is just built up old, torn down warehouses. There's just a shithole in the area. It's not a good place to, other than looking at a beautiful Old Trafford, the surrounding area is a horrible place.
Yeah.
Got it. Maybe they got to take a playbook out of the Kroenke, right? They paid for that whole thing over here in Inglewood.
England won't do that. England is not like, you know, they like can't the Steelers Stadium. The city, this, you know, the government paid for it. England is not going to pay for Man United's new stadium.
No, that's what I'm saying. Kroenke paid for the whole thing. He laid out the whole $4 billion to pay for that.
Well, I think that needs to happen whenever this stadium is built. This is a big thing that no one's really talking about, is Sir Jim Ratcliffe needs to take more percentage of Man United away from the Glazers if he's going to build the stadium. That needs to be put in writing. Like, if we build this stadium, we pay for it, you need to give me more percentage of Manchester United.
I think that's going to happen.
Build a new stadium and a building surround the surrounding areas, and then let Glazers take all the profit from it. There needs to be, hey, you're going to give me 49% of the club, you keep 51 or whatever it is, but there needs to be a change of percentage whenever the stadium is being built. Because we're never going to get Glazers out if we build all this stuff.
Yeah, facts.
That's very true, and that could be one of the reasons why we're seeing more of this talks coming out, right? That could be something in the talks
already. It's 49%, so we can have a hostile takeover.
Yeah, exactly. Beto says they don't love those new property taxes they have to pay. Exactly. Seed right here.
What you on, Facebook?
Nah, it's okay. After we're pretty much 5 minutes left, right? So let's just get a little bit of our predictions, what we think we're going to see in the Europa tomorrow against Twente. I'll start off here with the guys in the studio with Cheese.
I don't even know. Squad rotation, though. Yeah. I expect them to rotate his squad. Garnacho to start. Maybe Højlund up front. And I don't know if he's gutsy enough to do Højlund and Zerski together.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
If Zerksy plays the 10.
Pretty much. Like, he's going to be playing drop back. Yeah. And that's how you rest Bruno.
If we play Zerski at the 10 and we win 4-5-0,
it's going to be...
We're going to be sitting here next week going...
we owe him some assists. Bruno? I'm sorry, but we owe him some assists.
Bruno? Can't we rest Bruno? Exactly. Casey, you want to get on this?
I think we're going to do very well. This is a personal game for Erik ten Hag. This is the club he supports. This is the club he said he grew up cheering for. He said in his press conference, I feel bad that I'm going to hurt them. I would love to. I said something crazy on their show. I know everybody's going to slay me right now. I would start Anthony because I feel this is his level. So I would go with Rasmus, Garnacho, Anthony, and I would do something drastic and have Zerski in the false nine. This is the game you want to tinker with. But my back four wouldn't change. I would not change my back four. Exactly. I would not change my back four. And I agree with Patch. I would play the goalie.
Are you starting Ugarte?
Yes, I'm starting Ugarte. I'm going to sit Kobe. I'm going to sit Kobe one more time. But I would like to see Kobe and Ugarte play more, though, together.
And this might be the game for that, though.
So, yeah, I would go Kobe and Ugarte. I would like to see that. And Zerski at that false nine.
Zerski at the 10. Patch, we'll go to you.
Yeah, I would keep the back line as is. I would. He might put Bayindir in goal. I like the idea of maybe Mount and Ugarte in the midfield. And then I also obviously like the idea of Garnacho on the left, Ahmad on the right. And then I'd love to see Zerksy in the 10 and Højlund up top, but I think he's going to play Bruno.
He is, isn't he?
Zerksy. So, but I don't know. I would just like to see a couple of the boys that don't get, that haven't had minutes in a while, like Mount.
Yeah,
I know Ugarte's played a little bit, but it would be nice for him to start. And then, so I think we'll see a little squad rotation. I would say probably 7 to 8 players of the starting 11 are going to be the same.
Yep. Got it. So I feel. Before we go to you, Sean, just reading this comment, Beto is saying 2-0 United. His lineup is Onana, Dalot, Dalit, Martinez, Maz, Ugarte, Casemiro, Zerksy, Rashford, Garnacho, and Rasmus. Swap Mount for Zerksy, bench Bruno. Sean, let's go to you.
It feels like Patch just completely read my mind with that one, having Mason Mount in there. I think Mason Mount and Ugarte could be a good relationship. Give Kobe a bit of a break. Up front, do you know what? You said this last night with Anthony on the right. I feel like if we play Anthony and he doesn't play well, that he's done. So.
But maybe we need to see that.
Anthony, if he doesn't play well tomorrow, he's done. So I would probably stick Anthony on the right, just to start the game, see how well he does. And if he doesn't perform against another team that is not on a Premier League level, then it's time for him to leave. So it's exactly the same as Patch, but I would probably stick Anthony on the right tomorrow.
Good lineup. Now, Mikey, let's go to you real quickly.
I agree with Patch, man. I think that's the best lineup. I really don't. We should be able to field anybody to beat this team. They're not a really good team. So I'm not really.
What's your guys' score?
It doesn't matter who you play.
3-1.
3-1.
3-0. keep the clean sheets going, 3-0.
You feel the clean sheet?
Got it.
I got to give you guys props. I did not think about the Mount thing.
Yes.
Mount Ugarte, for real.
Great work right up top, pressing, and then you got Ugarte to cover that lot of pitch, right? He's got good legs, right?
That's pretty nice.
So that's been another episode of Those Casual Reds, right? Thank you for Mikey from Atlanta, Sean from Pittsburgh, Patch, our local L.A. Jibber here, guys in studio, Cheese, Casey. Catch us on again next Tuesday, but don't forget to catch United Fan Zone on Thursday as well, guys.
Message.
Oh, Beto, next window, Lindelof, Erickson, Anthony are out of here. All right.
Fuck, Lindelof.
Let's go. Thank you guys for another episode. Thank you guys. Thank you, Sam.
Check out United Fan Zone tomorrow, 24.
And follow us also Thursday on the YouTube, 1878 Casuals, right?
Up the fucking Reds. Man. Good show, guys. Subscribe. Happy birthday again, once again, Mikey.
Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas. You're listening to It's Confirmed.
That was good, right?
Forgot
Mount Ugarte is what I would do.
That's actually the one that I would like. I know we talked about it.
That's fun.